Chapter 8. Down at the Police Station. The policeman was as tall as Bob, with dark hair and brown eyes. Pierre trouvait qu'il ressemblait à son oncle Christophe, le frère de son père. Mais penser à son oncle le fit penser à ses parents, et ce n'était pas le moment de se perdre en conjectures quant à l'état dans lequel ils se trouvaient tous les deux. En tout cas, le policier était accueillant. Il les conduisit vers un bureau et fit signe à Pierre et à Bob de s'asseoir. Il échangea quelques mots avec Bob que Pierre eut du mal à suivre. Puis il se tourna vers lui.
Hello, Peter,
he said.
So, you're from France. First time in England, I gather. Like it here?
Yes,
said Peter.
A lot.
Well, Bob tells me you saw someone in their garden last night, and that a certain number of objects have gone missing recently,
said the policeman.
Is it all right if I ask you a few questions?
Yes,
said Peter.
First of all, did you see the person clearly?
Well,
said Peter. Il avait remarqué que les Anglais commençaient souvent leurs phrases avec ce mot.
There was the moon, but it was the night.
Okay,
said the policeman.
Still, you saw somebody.
It was a man,
said Peter,
with two legs and two arms and no head.
No head,
exclaimed the policeman.
A headless burglar. First time we've had one of those around here. What else can you tell me about him?
He was small,
said Peter,
and he walked.
Il hésita, ne sachant pas l'anglais pour de travers, et finit par mimer la démarche de l'homme.
Like this?
Do you think you could draw me a picture of him if I give you a pen and paper?
Asked the policeman.
Can you draw, you know, like this?
Il prit un stylo et imita quelqu'un en train de dessiner.
Oh yes,
said Peter.
Draw. Oh yes, I can draw the man.
On lui donna un stylo et du papier, et Pierre s'appliqua à dessiner aussi fidèlement que possible l'homme qu'il avait vu la veille dans le potager. Quand il eut fini, le policier regarda son dessin et le montra à son collègue.
Take a look at this, Stanley. Remind you of anyone? Show us how he walks, Peter.
Pierre obéit, et le collègue policier, appelé Stanley, hocha la tête.
That certainly reminds me of someone,
he said.
Our own local hunchback of Notre Dame.
Your family and yourself haven't been here long enough to get to know him,
the policeman said to Bob.
But he's quite a local curiosity. He's not that old, but he was born with a problem about 50 years ago, and it's just got worse. His mother died about 20 years ago, and since then, he basically lives on charity. The vicar pays him to clean the church grounds.
Pierre fut vite perdu, mais comprit néanmoins que l'homme en question avait un problème et vivait grâce à la charité. Le policier reprit ses explications.
His back's so deformed, his shoulders are higher than his head. And you could quite easily mistake him for a headless man by night. We'll send a couple of chaps round to his shack and see what we find. You can go home now. We'll keep you informed.
Grâce au geste du policier, Pierre parvint à se faire une idée de l'homme qu'il décrivait. C'était un bossu. Son dos était si déformé et ses épaules si hautes que de loin, on pouvait croire qu'il n'avait pas de tête. L'homme sans tête était comme le bossu de Notre-Dame. Peter was quite a hero when he returned to the house. Everyone wanted to know what the policeman looked like and what Peter had said. Nobody had seen the hunchback yet.
What's his name?
Asked Alison.
I don't know, actually. The cop never said,
replied Bob.
I suppose he didn't want us to go and do justice ourselves, which we wouldn't anyway. Apparently, he's a poor man. He must steal things to exchange for food.
Or just take food,
said Stephen, referring to the zucchinis.
So, what do we do now?
Asked Janice.
Well, there's not a lot we can do, apart from wait,
said Sally.
I suggest you all take the bikes and go to the beach. It's nice and warm. You can show Peter how to find crabs.
But my bike's been stolen,
cried Alison.
Well, you can borrow my mountain bike if you promise to take good care of it,
said her mother. La route descendait jusqu'à la mer, et ils se laissèrent porter sur les vélos. Ils les calèrent à côté d'un rocher, puis ses trois cousins entraînèrent Pierre vers la plage. Il y avait du sable, mais également des rochers. De petites piscines d'eau de mer s'étaient formées à certains endroits, et l'on pouvait y observer des plantes, des crabes, et parfois même des poissons.
« The rock pools are what I like best on the beach, »
said Janice.
« Look, Peter, here's a big rock pool with sea anemones and a crab. Every time the waves wash over the rocks, the seawater forms these little pools, so the water is quite fresh.
Sometimes even small fish get caught in them and have to wait till the next high tide to get free,
added Alison.
It's as if we humans were trapped in air bubbles on the seabed,
said Stephen.
And we had to wait for the tide to go out again in order to get back to our natural habitat.
Hey,
shouted Janice,
let's have a seaweed fight.
Et elle lança un gros paquet d'algues en direction de Pierre, qui les évita de justesse. Ils passèrent une heure au bord de la mer à chercher des crabes et fruits de mer. Pierre apprit de nouveaux mots comme shells, barnacles, mussels, pour désigner les coquillages, les bernacles et les moules, et tide pour la marée. Mais en fait, tout le monde n'avait qu'une envie, savoir si on avait retrouvé leurs affaires chez le bossu. Quand ils estimèrent qu'ils avaient assez attendu, ils remontèrent à la maison. Et Pierre fut heureux de l'invention du VTT, vu la côte qu'il devait grimper. Alison l'encouragea à pédaler et à changer les vitesses, pour qu'il puisse s'asseoir de nouveau sur la selle.
« Come on, Peter, push on the pedals, and now change gears. Here, on the handlebars. Is that better? Now you can sit on the saddle to pedal. »
En effet, une fois qu'il eut changé de vitesse grâce aux manettes du dérailleur situé sur le guidon, Pierre pédala avec beaucoup plus de facilité. Arrivés à la maison, ils rangèrent leur vélo dans le garage et coururent retrouver les parents.
« Did the police call ?»
asked Stephen, who got there first.
« Yes, they did, »
answered his mum.
« They said they'll send someone over in the afternoon to take plaster moulds of the footprints in the vegetable garden. So, for the moment, it's off limits, okay ?» Nobody is to go near the vegetable garden.
Okay,
said Stephen.
But did they find our things?
No, they didn't,
answered Sally.
None of our stuff was in the hunchback's shack, apparently. Not even the zucchinis. The police don't seem to believe that Peter really saw him here. Or, at least, they're not certain that he's the one stealing our things. They'll be back over before dinner time anyway, and they might have some more questions for all of us, so don't go too far away. Now, Peter, what would you like for lunch?
Steak and chips,
said Janice immediately.
You'd like steak and chips, wouldn't you, Peter?
Yes,
said Peter.
I'd like steak and chips.
Il était un peu déçu de ces nouvelles. Comme les policiers n'avaient pas retrouvé les objets volés chez le bossu, il n'était pas certain que ce soit lui le voleur, alors que Pierre était persuadé de l'avoir vu. Mais il avait quand même faim.
Fine,
said Sally.
Then I'll make lunch for everybody.